On the first reading, the same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call on him. My father-in-law spent many, many, many years seeking to find that generosity. I think he had begun as a young man, having missed out on the chance of finding faith in his teenage years. He struggled to do so through his early adulthood. He worked in the City of London and spent most of his lunch nights going to various of the city churches, hearing lectures, attending services, occasionally attending concerts too, seeking to find his way to some understanding of the God who appeared to mean so much to so many people around him. He tells me that his efforts were redoubled when, somewhat to his surprise, his daughter married a priest. Well, that may or may not be so, but certainly it didn't have an immediate effect on him. He went on struggling for a long time. And then there came a moment, I think after he had expected it not to happen. He had given up his search. And then when he was pottering around in his garden, he suddenly realized that the presence of God was all around him. And that after all these years of seeking for God, God had come to find him. I think he's not unique in that respect. I know a number of people whose story is not dissimilar. God has come to find them, even as they have given up seeking to find him. I've just been away for 3 days on a kind of mini retreat, and when I arrived at the convent where I always go, the sister who's my spiritual director had left a book for me by a man called Richard Rowe called Falling Upwards. I had heard of this man, this spiritual theologian, but I hadn't actually ever read anything of his. It was, I found, an extraordinarily powerful book, and seemed to speak to me. The basic premise, at least in the first half of the book, because that was as far as I got in the days that I was there, the basic premise was we have to let go in order to find ourselves as God intends us to be. The more we struggle to do it on our own, the less easy it will be. But the task, he says, the task is to do that, to find the divine DNA within us, to find the spark of God that is there in all of us, seeking to be recognized, to find expression, to be let out so that it can show. That's the task in front of all of us. We heard in this afternoon's gospel part of the story of Peter's relationship with Jesus. Now, apart from Jesus himself, Peter is the character who emerges most clearly in the gospel stories, particularly in Matthew and Mark and Luke, over and over again. It's Peter who is relating to Jesus. What comes across, it seems to me, is a noteworthy and naturally impulsive person, always seeking to be up front, always wanting to be doing, eager to please. So he's the one who bursts out with a statement, "I think you're the Messiah," when Jesus asks them all, "Who do you think I am?" They shuffle their feet a bit and try to answer the question by saying, "Well, Peter is always one of the three disciples chosen by Jesus to go with him when he goes off on his own with just a small number of them. Peter is the one who jumps into the water after the resurrection, when the risen Jesus is standing on the lakeside. And disciples in the boat say, "Oh, look, surely that's Jesus." It's Peter who leaps in, who won't wait for the boat to get back to land, but wants to be there first. In a similar kind of way, it is Peter who runs straight to the tomb when the news comes that it's empty. It's Peter who draws his sword on the guards when they come to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then, of course, it is Peter who fails spectacularly in the high priest's courtyard just a few hours later. But despite that catastrophic failure, Peter is the one who becomes one of the key leaders in the life of the early church in the wake of Jesus' death and resurrection. He's not the only one, but he's certainly the chief one amongst those 12 disciples. A rock on whom I will build my church, as Jesus has said it. And today's story is a key moment in the growth of his faith. A key moment in the process that takes Peter to finding his place in God through Jesus, his divine DNA, if you like, and let it come to the surface. Because when he notices nothing but Jesus, he's able to trust him fully. And that enables him to do this extraordinary thing, walking across the lake to meet Jesus. But then, as he becomes aware of a frightening distraction, namely the strong wind that blew around him, the simple-minded trust that he begins with wavers, and he has to call out in fear. It's part of the process that helps Peter to see that faith in Jesus is not simply, indeed it is not primarily, intellectual assent. Our reason is part of the way in which we respond to God, but it is only part of it, and it's probably not the key part either. The key part is the part that enables us to say, "I trust you," and my belief is made up largely of trust. "I trust you, Jesus, that the path you are guiding me on will lead me to God, your Father, and my Father. I put my faith, my trust in you." We need to find ways of letting go of all that distracts us from that and learn to trust God in Jesus. To learn to trust that in Jesus we see God and we find God and we are led to God. Of course, that's much easier said than done. Those distractions are all around us all the time. And many of them are good distractions. Many of them are good desires to wrestle with those difficult questions, to find the right ways of our being the ones that guide others. The truth is, it is always God that does that guiding. We do well if we don't get too much in the way. That same book that I was reading just a few days ago quotes a conversation that the author has with Archbishop Desmond Tutu. And Archbishop Desmond says to him, "We are simply the light bulbs. Our job is to remain switched on." And by that, he means it is God who is the electricity. It is God who is the light. All we do is provide a way in our time amongst those where we are set reality of God in their lives. The extraordinary thing about my father-in-law's moment in that garden, when suddenly it all fell into place for him, was that he was just about, although he didn't know it, none of us knew it, he was just to be about to be called on to play a quite critical role in the life of his family. His son, he had two twin sons, the younger of them, was just about to contract cancer, from which he would die 2 years later. And Brian, my father-in-law, led the family through that difficult time in a quite extraordinary way, which I'm quite convinced he was only able to do because of that moment in his garden just a few days before the news of Richard's illness broke. And the light that by God's grace is shed from our hearts to other people at moments when they need it most is never at our parish. It is always at God's parish. We simply have to remember that we are the bulbs through which God's light will shine. And for that to happen, we have to be switched on. That means, therefore, that there is a part for us to play. By opening ourselves in trust to God, by allowing ourselves to be the bulbs through which His light will shine to others, we do play our part. And your confirmation, those of you who are being confirmed this afternoon or baptized and confirmed, your confirmation is a statement on your part that you share in some measure the same trust that Peter developed, part of which development we heard this afternoon. It's a statement on your part that you want to follow the way that Jesus sets out, which will lead us to God and to the life of his kingdom. It's a statement on your part that you now offer yourselves as bulbs through which God will shed his light on others, and indeed through which his light will shine on you too. But of course, confirmation is not just about your confirmation. It can't happen without that, but it's not just that. You do part of it, but the other part of it is God's confirmation to you. Confirmation of his gift in your lives to each of you. And his gift is that he will be with you. That if you remain switched on, his electricity will shine out through you, both for the illumination of your own lives and for the illumination of others. May God bless you all at this moment and throughout the rest of your lives. Amen.
Amen.
Sing together now our next hymn. The words appear on the screen for this one. It's a lovely hymn, Unbreaking of the Dawn. Please stand.